Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. And we just hung out this weekend, but we're here to do a Skype call. We had UFC 274. We went and saw Steve-O. There was a couple on the run that left Alabama, ended up getting caught in a high-speed chase in Indiana. But I have got Jared Kinney, the cornerman, here with me, man. What is good?
What's going on? Nothing. Just finished watching the last half of the Celtics and Bucks game. I got to watch like the last fourth quarter. I was recording my recap of UFC 274 Scalegate. busy weekend though. Busy 3 days.
No kidding, dude. So I mean, just on tap was Friday night. We went to the Sanger Theater. Go catch your Steve-O. But before we get there, it's like, why do we call you the cornerman? Like, what's going on? Tell the people about the show.
Kung Fu Kenny. I got a podcast, The Cornerman. It's an MMA podcast. Started me and two buddies. They kind of lost interest in doing it, I guess. And I took maybe a little less than a year off. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to pick it back up. I think maybe on one of our last episodes, I might have mentioned Bert Kreischer just said to just start doing it. You're not going to know where it goes if you don't do it, so why not? Really got to heart and just started fucking sending it. So this is the second episode that's been back. This is episode 9, though, total.
So are you solo casting now?
Yep, it's hard as shit. Just talking to yourself. The first episode, I tried going a lot of notes. I think that episode I recorded, or I was on my way back from Porch Fest, and I watched on my phone while driving. Don't suggest doing that. So I caught a couple fights.
I had an ex-girlfriend who used to watch Netflix while driving. Like, she would put the phone up by the
speedometer. That's crazy. That's
and
crazy.
I was like, oh man, I hope she's still alive.
No, that's crazy. Yeah, on the way home, threw that on the phone, and then I got home and it was right on the start of the card and threw it on the iPad and watched it. And then I think I recorded the day after. That was UFC 273. I would like to do more, like on you know, weekly after, or really like we did it before, an episode before the event, on like release it that Thursday, Friday maybe. Then the event happens, and then on like Monday or Tuesday, drop an episode of just a recap of what happened. It's easier when you talk to people, but like just doing it by myself, I'm just really doing a recap, giving my thoughts on, you know, people who they match up with and what happened and stuff. But it was an interesting weekend this weekend.
Yeah, no kidding, dude. So I was out playing a show while the card was going on. So we were playing 10-2. And so I get back to Sid's house. They're in the bed because it's 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we wake up, and Sid's cooking breakfast, he was like, man, that card last night was incredible. He was like, you know, the biggest disappointment was obviously the Thug Rose fight, but you had the, was it Oliveira?
Charles Oliveira.
He had the, what, did it happen in the second round with the chokeout?
No, that was in the first. They
came right out with him. And then the most iconic thing was the old kick.
Oh, yeah, Chandler. The front kick from Michael Chandler on Tony Ferguson. Yeah, so, well, let's back it up even before that. On Friday, there's a whole lot of controversy about, I'm calling it Scalegate. So the champion, Charles Oliveira, who fought Justin Gaethje in the main event for the lightweight belt, missed weight by a whole half a pound. Excuse me. So he missed weight. So when you weigh in, you step on the scale, and if you're over, you know, you get off, that you let the thing balance out, and you can step on again. So he stepped on once. He was at 156. Weird. Stepped off. Stepped back on. 155 and a half. And he, like, there's a video. It's on Twitter. But, like, you could see him, like, look at his, like, you know, his team, like, all confused. Because before the fight, obviously, multiple times, fighters weigh in, like, at the hotel, wherever they're at. Then they get to the event, and they weigh in again, and then they go to the official weigh-in just to make sure they're on track. And this whole time, they're not eating, they're not drinking, nothing. Excuse me. And so that happened. He had an hour to cut the extra – excuse me, I've been burping all night, my bad. So he had an extra hour to cut the extra half pound. Couldn't do it. There was a couple of tweets, people saying, like, people don't know how hard it is to – once you've already, like, cut weight, because you're cutting weight that whole week leading up. But once you've done that, your body's just done, out of water, out of energy. So to get your heart to work back up again and, you know, create a sweat is, like, incredibly difficult. So he used that hour, went back, still 155 and a half. And then there was a bunch of people saying, like, oh, this fighter, that fighter. I guess 20 people were over by like a half a pound, which I don't have anything to compare it to other events. So I don't know if that's a lot, a little, or what. To me, it sounds like a lot. And then people saying, oh, the commission didn't do it right, that and this.
It's a bit of controversy.
Breakdowns. Yeah, it's controversy. And he's the first. So with that said, him being overweight, since he's the champion, they strip him of the belt. He's not the champion anymore. And that fight, he has to give up 20% of his fight purse because he's overweight. And then, what was it? Oh, in that fight, if he won, he did end up winning, but he doesn't have the chance to basically defend his title or win the belt. You know what I mean? So the only person in that situation that could have got the belt wrapped around their waist was Justin Gaethje. And it's never happened. A champion has never missed weight ever. So,
I remember, like, just hanging out with the boys, you know, all this weekend. And we were talking about that. And when Sid figured out that he had missed weight, it was like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like this kind of thing is unheard of. What's going on around here?
Usually, like, when people miss weight, it's like, if it's by like 3 pounds, 4 pounds, either they were hurt during camp and they, you know, they couldn't really shred it, but by half a pound, it's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah, I want to switch gears real quick. I don't want to get off too much into UFC. I would like to spend a little time with what we did Friday night before we get off the deep end with UFC. Mm-hmm. And so, dude, really appreciate the invite. It was my first comedy show. We went out to the Sanger Theater. We went and saw Steve-O's Bucket List Tour. And can I tell you, I'm still thinking about his ear.
It's so fucked up. Yeah, I don't want to give too much away. But if you're a fan of Jackass and like the super extreme type of stunts they do on Jackass, then the show is perfect for you. It's like it's perfect. It's stuff that they couldn't show like on. Like in like either on DVD or Netflix or even make those scenes of Jackass, and some stuff he did extra, of course, with just by himself doing stupid shit. It was great.
Yeah, and once again, not to give too much away, and then we're talking about the Macho Man and what it means to be a Macho Man, and like that was the hardest part for me to get through. Once again, highly encourage, if Steve-O's coming to your town or near you, go see it. It's like, how would you describe it? Is he gives a bit of a comedy spell to a build up to a video.
Yeah.
And then
it's like a hybrid like comedy show. It's like he does his little bit. He basically tells you what he does in his stunt, or gives you like a backstory about the stunt, and then he leads into the skit. It's so funny. It's perfect.
Yeah. And it's great. And man, like I would, if I had a chance, I'd go see it again. And like, this is definitely like to be my first comedy show. I'm glad that was the first one, because I know there will be nothing else like that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I loved it. If he goes on tour again and like does something else, like a bucket list part two or something, I'd definitely see that.
What do you think? Like with this bucket list and everything that he done, not to give anything away with that, but I don't know how you top that. I think this has got to be like,
yeah, you can. That after Jackass 3 or Jackass 2, it's like, how do they get crazier? How do they do more shit?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Every time they do it, like it's just how more crazy or how more stupid. Like it's the creativity is something else.
Yeah, I'm telling you that meant a lot. I don't know about like where you grew up at, but we all grew up watching Wild Boys and Jackass and all that on TV. Mm-hmm. And so just to be that close to someone, you know, you grew up watching TV with is you know, somewhat of a hero or maybe an idol. You know.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and especially for him to be doing all that shit sober now, it's really like a true testament of like how much, you know, sheer will he has to do it. Like, he, you know, it makes sense. Like, you hear about it back then, or you see the Steve-O demise to rise or whatever, and you find out he was super fucked up. And then it's like, well, I'm really not surprised, because they did some fucked up shit. So, and for him to be doing that completely sober now is, you know, impressive.
Most definitely. And that was like the most impressive part of it. That was going to be my question if I was talking to him. It's like, how did you do Jackass Forever sober? And then again, which was way worse, how did you do your bucket list sober?
Yeah. I think even in Jackass 3, I think that was the first one he did sober, was Jackass 3. I think.
There ain't no way, dude. There is no way.
You know, yeah, because he said he was like 12 years sober or something like that. I think. When did Jackass 3 come out?
That's quite the question. I would guess probably around...
I would say 2012. Yeah.
2012, 2014.
I was going to say 2012. It's October 2010.
It's been that long.
Yeah, 12 years.
Oh, dude. Oh. So something else that we were talking about this weekend was...
Yeah,
so
I don't mean to interrupt you. 13 years sober. And this was last year. So, he got sober right before Jackass 3.
Yeah. Right on. So, another story that we were tracking this weekend, it came to a climactic close. And I was going to read a little bit about this article. So, Alabama prison break couple arrested in Indiana after car chase. And so, it was so funny, like, being on social media. It's like, I see all, like, my friends, like, sharing about... you know, I would share this story with someone who didn't live in Alabama or Mississippi, but there's no way that they would get it. Like, this was a very, like, Alabama story. So, escaped inmate Casey White and former jail official Vicky White are in police custody after the pair were apprehended in Indiana. The weeks-long manhunt ended in a dramatic police chase in which Casey White wrecked the car in which the couple... were fleeing. Lauderdale County Sheriff Rick Singleton said Vicky White was taken to the hospital following the arrest, but didn't give the details on the nature of the injury. She shot herself. That's what happened.
Ended up just dying. She just passed away like an hour ago.
Well, there you go. So she that's probably what she wanted, because there's no life after that.
Yeah.
Not after a Bonnie and Clyde situation like that. It goes on, during the pursuit, the pickup truck was wrecked. Casey White surrendered. Vicky White has been taken to the hospital. Man, it's crazy. Like, in your mind, you're breaking out of jail in Alabama. And she took out, like, a $90,000. It was her pension. It was her retirement. Mm-hmm. Why would you go north? Why wouldn't you try to go to Canada or go to Mexico? Go mm-hmm. to Texas, get south, because $90,000 could go a long way down there. Were yep. they trying to go to Canada? What's going on?
I don't know. Unless they had like family, and maybe they could help them out somewhere, but it's fucked yeah. up. I just, the memes were, here we go with memes again. Just Twitter, if people being funny, they were like, the dick was that good that she fucking had to throw away her life. It was just, it was so funny. It was,
yeah.
just, people just saying crazy shit, town hall, Twitter shit. It's just so good. It's perfect.
And RIP Vicky, man. You know?
Yeah, to a real one. Ride or die chick, literally. Like,
yeah, that was the ride or die. Like, maybe the better bunny to that Clyde.
Yeah, and I guarantee you, what is it, 2022? I'm going to say October of next year, there will be a movie out already about it. Lifetime or Netflix or movie, documentary or whatever. Something is going to come out about it, and it's yeah. everyone's going to watch it.
Give us, I mean, even Lifetime could get on this with their romance. Spin doctor this. Make it a Christmas movie. Come on. But just to get back on track, and this is the meat of it. Like, those were the main two things I was going to talk about. I don't know. And if you got anything, we can go there. But I really wanted to spend time with this car because I've been watching highlights and catching up on YouTube. I wasn't able to catch it live. We were out playing that night. But just talking to Sid the following morning, one of the most memorable cards possibly of this year and possibly in time gone by.
Yeah.
It's a great card.
Yeah, I think really the only slant on the card was the Thug Rose title fight.
Yeah.
Just because it was like, it to go to that fight, that was the co-main event. She fought Carla Esparza, and Carla Esparza ended up winning by split decision. First two rounds, there was like less than 10 punches thrown. So for people who don't know, Thug Rose is a very good striker. She's very good at kicks, and she's very good at punches. Carla Esparza is a notorious wrestler. So you got two different stylistic matchups like that. Thug Rose really didn't want to, she was very hesitant on throwing any strikes because she, you know, if you're instantly throwing strikes, then Carla Esparza is going to duck under and shoot and try to take you down. And like, in for your people opinion, who aren't wrestlers.
Is that what she was holding back on? Because from what Sid told me and from the highlights I've seen, it looked like Rose was superior athletically. Because,
oh, yeah, 1,000,000,000%.
Yeah, and I didn't understand the fear and why she was holding back like she was.
I think at the end of, like, round three or four, everyone was booing, just boos raining down. And
even Rogan said, like, this is if you're a new person here to the sport, this is not it.
Yeah. And so everyone was booing, and one of Thug Rose's coaches said, "You hear those boos? That means we're doing this right." And like, she just had really bad coaching. It's just I don't know what good they thought could have come of just not engaging. I don't know. And
wasn't it Usman one of the coaches?
No, Trevor Whitman is one of her coaches. And I don't know who the other guy is, but Trevor Whitman's he's a very good striking coach. Just good. Like, Justin Gaethje trains with him. He's a good striker. I think Usman trained with that coach, Trevor Whitman, I think, just within last year to get better with his hands. But anyone who, like, wants to just get better with their hands and striking, Trevor Whitman's the guy. He won, like, Coach of the Year, I think, 2020 maybe. But he doesn't, like, coach a bunch of people. Like, he'll only take in 3-4 people at a time. He doesn't own, like, a huge gym, like American Top Team or these other people that have, you know, 60, 80, 100 people running around. It's just he just focuses on a few people at a time.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't that, like, when he went into the final round, he was like, you know what, just have fun.
Yeah, he said let it go. He said now is the time to win it. And she just still didn't do anything. It was fucking frustrating. It was so frustrating to watch.
And so I got the stats pulled up, and if you're unfamiliar with MMA, like, just check these out. It's like this is, even if we go by percentage, for the entire fight, Rose threw 137 strikes and only landed 38. Carla threw 133 and landed 30. So Rose had a better percentage with 27, and then Carla had 22%. Significant strikes, same goes. 136, Rose landed 37, Carla threw 133, landed 30. So, like, just looking at it on paper, it still looks like Rose had it. Now, here's the thing. Rose tried to take down one time and was successful. Carla tried to take down 11 times and was only successful twice. But just talking to people who watched the fight, it was like, Rose wasn't doing shit, bro.
A lot of those strikes for both of them, like, the attempts, so like 137 to 133, 136 to 133, like, they weren't attempts. They were like feints to catch distance. So like, you know how when they're fighting and they're kind of going like this and shit, like, they had to have been counting that because she didn't throw that many strikes. That's the only way I see those numbers being that high. Like, there's no shot. I think she landed one punch in the first round, one punch, and it was like to her forehead, and it like got all red, like super quick. Maybe two. She just did a little jab. That's it.
Yeah.
And it was a bad example. Like, and a lot of people were like, oh, this is the worst fight I've ever seen. This fight stinks. Like, yeah, I get it. But like, if this, for people who don't know, like, if this was your experience for the worst fight ever, that I can tell you there's a few that top it. Like, just a recent history, Israel Adesanya versus Yoel Romero was supposed to be an absolute banger. Was supposed to be one of the greatest title fights ever, and it
just wasn't.
Same thing, yeah. So there was that, and then Francis Ngannou versus Derek Lewis. That fight was so bad. Herb Dean was the ref. Shout out Herb Dean. They sat there. They were just going like this the whole time because they're two heavyweights. They're going like this and like trying to feel each other. I don't even know if they did that. And Herb Dean was like, "All right, come on, gentlemen, let's go before I start deducting a point. If you don't engage, like, I'm gonna start taking points away." Like, to try to get them to fight.
Get the fight going. Get the ball rolling.
But the one, for your listeners, I don't know how in-depth they are with UFC, but I highly suggest anybody, if you want a really good laugh, this is my number one worst fight I've ever seen. It is so funny. It is Dada 5000 versus Kimbo Slice. Dada is D-A-D-A number 5000. Versus Kimbo Slice. Just look that up. I'm sure it'll be a Bellator video on YouTube. I'm almost positive Dada 5000 had a heart attack in the octagon or ring or whatever you want to call it. It is so bad. It is horrible. It was supposed to be like a passing of the torch between Kimbo, because he's a notorious backyard fighter from Miami-Dade County. And then Dada 5000 was like this up-and-comer, same thing, big heavyweight guy. So it was supposed to be like a passing of the torch thing. Oh my God, it was so bad. They got so tired and they were just, it's brutal to watch, but it's so funny.
You know, like, one of the worst fights, I mean, because I was a huge fan of both of them, like, recent memory, was when Anderson Da Silva, or the Spider Silva, got in the ring with, or in the octagon with Forrest Griffin.
That front kick knockout.
I hated that.
Did you?
I was like, they should have never, like, because it should have never been a thing, you know? I was like, what did Forrest think was going to happen, right?
Prime Anderson Silva.
Nothing against Forrest, because, like, Forrest was hell. Mm-hmm. But, like, that was just not a good matchup to me. It's like, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And bringing it to that front kick, too, like, that is one of the most devastating front kick knockouts. But the one that we had this weekend when Michael Chandler knocked out Tony Ferguson.
Good segue. Is
picture perfect. So that fight was the third fight into the card. It was before the co-main event, before Esparza and Thug Rose. And it was in the second round.
Was that
round.
Your fight, like, of the night?
Or did performance really of the like, night. Knockout of the
did
night.
Did you really like Charles's choke out?
I think that was more impressive because he got knocked down twice and then, like, was able to recoup and battle adversity. Like, I think that was more of an impressive performance. But the Michael Chandler knockout, it was, I'm sure if you follow either Alan or me on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, posted those pictures, it is so fucking perfect. So when you kick, for your people, when you kick, if this is your foot and these are your toes, the ball of your foot is what you're throwing a front kick with. And it landed perfect under his chin. And his whole face fucking morphed, and it was so.
Have you seen those? Have you seen those photos of like the face morph, like just caught perfectly?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It looked fake.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, but and that's the thing about it. I've went back and watched that fight because I'm a huge Tony Ferguson fan. Like, he's one of my favorites. Like, that goes back to when I first got into the MMA, UFC. Ferguson was in his prime, right? I've always been a fan of his, and so when I knew he was fighting on this card. And what's crazy is, like, it really looked like the fight was going his way after the first
round. It was. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And then this was, like, a stunner because when Michael came back, like, he...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It wasn't like a regular karate kick. He, like, came back from grandma's house for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he reared back and rocked on it.
Yep. Yeah, it was nut. It came out of nowhere, too, and I just remember screaming, and I remember after that I looked at Sid, and I was like, this is why we got to record every fucking fight, like, record us because of reactions like that. Like, it was so bananas. We're running around the room yelling, screaming, and
dude. I was at our show, and I just hopped on Twitter, and like I'm just like following you live tweeting, and I was like, I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, and what's crazy, like, Tony's never been knocked down before.
Right.
Not knocked out. He's never been hit so hard where he was dazed and fell. Mm-hmm. Never. And this just front kick right to the chin, just out cold, corpse. And like, done. What's even funnier, like, the still photos are nuts. Like, he's dead on the ground, like, comatose, all fucking frozen, like, stiffed up. And Michael Chandler's sitting there, and he's doing backflips in the ring. He did, like, three. So he did, like, backflip, and there's one picture of when he's in the air, bent all back, and you just see Tony's dead body laying there, and Michael Chandler's off the ground, like, 3 feet. It's unbelievable. It's so sick. I just, like you said, I'm a fan of Tony Ferguson, too. He's just so unorthodox, and he brings a great personality and style to the octagon. And now he's on a 5-fight lose streak, and I hope he comes back, but I hope he doesn't fight a contender because I want to see him do well.
And wasn't that like the thing, like, this was like he was on his like comeback tour, so to speak, right? And he's just been taking L's.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's fought 5 great people. Like, I'll pull it up real quick, but Michael Chandler was just this last one. Tony Ferguson.
Looking at their records, I mean. Like, after what happened that night, 23-7 with Chandler and then 26-7 with Ferguson. Could you ask for anything better?
Nope. Oh, so he's on a 4-fight lose streak. So he lost to Justin Gaethje by KO by punches. Then he lost to Charles Oliveira, who's the current champ. And he lost to Benil Dariush via decision. That's why it was counted as a KO, TKO. Okay. Like, What round was it, in the third or the fourth? It's in the fifth. Okay. Dude, he was getting just smoked, but he didn't go down. He didn't fall down at all. And he's just getting pieced up, and he was just fucking a walking zombie. And Herb Dean stepped in and called the fight, which could have possibly saved his life. Then he lost to Charlie Olives. Then he lost to Benil Dariush, who Benil Dariush is a very good fighter. He's actually supposed to fight who people are now saying should fight for the title, Islam Makhachev. And now he just lost to Michael Chandler. But yeah, he hasn't had a good run this past, since when, 2020? 2 years?
It's been a while. And so we've covered this fight. It was the lightweight. It was the main event. We've talked a little bit about it with the weigh-in, but we had Gaethje and Charles. And Charles had already given up his belt because he couldn't make weight. So, like, this is a no contest at this point. Losing 20% of the purse and still going out there and putting on a performance.
Right. Yeah, so he was unable to – if he ended
so where
up winning.
So where does that belt go now?
It's just it's just up in the air. Yeah, it's non-claimed or unclaimed belt. But he's the number one contender. So he's going to have a fight. The next fight will be for the belt. It's just who does he fight for the belt, you know? So he was unable to defend his belt. I go into a breakdown between like him and Khabib and stuff on just the stuff I recorded earlier. I think that's really going to be the only tarnish on his legacy. Just because he already has a better resume than Khabib. Some people call Khabib, oh, their goat. He's not. He has not fought the same competition. Look at their fight history and stuff like that.
Your thoughts on this is a lot of people say that Khabib's like legacy in the UFC was kind of stacked and played to his favor.
Oh yeah, 1,000,000,000%. Just because of the people he fought up until like the last three or four fights of his career. His last three or four fights, you know, they're not slouches, but they're not, you know, they're not people that he should have been fighting mid, you know, in the middle of his career. He fought no names. And then, you know, to really maintain or to really hold that GOAT title, nowadays it's going up in weight, getting that second belt. John Jones has done it for so long, you know, hopefully this year we get to see him fight for that second belt, but he has GOAT status because he defended his belt 15 times.
That's right.
Retarded. That's silly.
That's just it. It's like when greatness comes to mind, you know, it used to be like Anderson, the Spider Silva, or it would be like a GSP type. But I mean, even out of the octagon, even though his reputation isn't so great there, it is John Jones is like pound for pound the
number
best
one.
Fighter. He's the best I've ever seen.
He's the Michael Jordan of UFC MMA, without a doubt. And I cannot if I'm able to buy tickets, I don't care where it is. I'm really debating on emptying the bank account and buying tickets and going to see him fight Stipe for the belt. That's so worth it.
I mean, it's to the point now, and I think we've talked about this like off the air. It's like I'd put my house on him winning that.
Oh yeah, 1,000,000%. Yeah, if you want to make easy money when John Jones fights Stipe, empty out 401k, throw your paycheck on it, throw your mortgage on it, and you will. He's going to be favored very heavy, so you might not win a lot, but
you're going to win.
It's free money. It was just like Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor boxing. It was the freest money I've ever gotten in my life.
Yeah.
So I don't see anything or that fight going any different.
Okay, so one thing about, and Sid and I were joking about this, is like when we were watching like the prelims before I took off, was we had a lot of like, was it featherweight and lightweight guys? It was like, and that was the first comment he and I both made was like, oh dude, there ain't gonna be a knockout. They're just gonna beat the hell out of each other. Mm-hmm. They're gonna hit each other like 100 times, and you know they're just gonna go all three rounds, and it'll come down to a decision. And you know, that was right for the most part, but I'm going to say, like, everything about Saturday UFC, main card, prelims, I couldn't have asked for, like, a better weekend of UFC.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of my girl, Thug Rose, like, having an awful
putting on
fight.
A dud?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the card in July is so it might be better than this card, at least on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna try to pull it up, but you have Israel Adesanya fighting Jared Cannonier, who Israel Adesanya is just by himself, just
the style, baby,
very fun to watch. Who else do you have on that? Oh, you have Shevchenko. She's gonna murder whoever she's fighting. I don't know how to mm-hmm. pronounce her name. Why can't I pull up this fight? Calvin Kattar. Yeah. Here we go. It's not pulling up. July 2nd. Okay. Oh, yeah. I forgot. Sorry. Actually, no, I didn't forget. Because I never forget. Volkanovski versus Holloway 3 got announced. So that's the
Holloway. I'm a Holloway fan now.
Yep. Oh, that's it. Sean Strickland versus Michael Pereira. So for people who don't know, Michael Pereira is like fairly new to the UFC. He was the one to give Adesanya his first loss in his career, at least in kickboxing. Knocked him out cold.
I was about to say, ain't UFC-wise, like MMA, like Adesanya is undefeated, am I not mistaken?
He has one loss because he went up to light heavyweight to try to go for that belt, and it just didn't go well for him because he's so like he's so lean, he couldn't really have a lot of weight. But Sean O'Malley's fighting Pedro Munhoz, which is an electric fight. Uriah Hall is fighting. And then I think Miesha Tate is fighting. What's her name? Lauren Murphy. And then I think, Jessica Eye is fighting Macy Barber, which should be very interesting. So this whole fight, prelims to main card, is just unbelievable on paper, at least. I just pray.
Yeah. I pray. No one falls out. Robbie Lawler's fighting.
That's my boy.
So that'll be on the prelims, I think. It's unbelievable. I pray no one falls out because this card is stacked.
I wanted to ask you, like, sit women's UFC aside, is what is your favorite weight class to watch? Because I mean, they all have their sparkles, right?
Yep.
And so it's kind of ebb and flowed with me. It was like I was never like really a huge heavyweight guy. It kind of goes back to like Frank Mir, Brock Lesnar. When it comes to light heavyweight, you know, I'm thinking, you know, John Jones or even like Forrest Griffin back during that. And on this card, like if you had to pick out a favorite fight, you know, maybe it wasn't, you know, Charles like defending his non-title. What did you make out with the light heavyweight fight between Rua and Prooks, St. Prue?
Oh, yeah. Mauricio Shogun Hua, which is just an absolute legend of the game, versus Ovince St. Prue. It was a boring fight for your eyes, but Mauricio, like Shogun is such a – he's 40 years old. Still doing.
Yeah, I mean, like
shit.
when I got in the UFC, like he was in his prime, and he's still there.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. He's like one of the last, you know, true pioneers, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But for
unless you're gonna go to Chuck Liddell, like getting after Steve-O's ear with a mouse trap kind of thing, you know, what's going on around here? But anyway, like to answer the question, like what is like. Do you like a lightweight fight? I mean, there are things to like about each of these weight classes, but what is your absolute favorite? Oh, or does it come down to a person?
Yeah, I think it comes down to actual fighters and their styles, really. Like, I hated watching Khabib, which a lot of people did, because he's just, all he did was, like, get you down and wrestle fuck you. He would just wrap you up and fucking smash your face.
Yeah, he's up there in so well. Dagestan or Hoofwaka Shaka Shwaka wrestling bears. It's like, what do you think he's going to do to you if he can wrestle a bear?
Yeah.
Do you think you're a bear? I don't think so. Not at that weight.
Like Israel Adesanya, I don't like his personality, but I like the way he fights.
Oh, he's such a... He's
He's fun to watch. Like, Charles Oliveira is so fun to watch because, like, he has such heavy hands. Like, he's also very good at jiu-jitsu. Like, and then same thing, like, Alexander Volkanovski. Like, it's, everybody has their perks that they're good at, and it's just, you have to appreciate it all, you know?
Coming back to you. Had an Amber Alert go off.
Oh, I hate those.
Yeah, we're back now. Hope I didn't make you lose your train of thought, but yeah, man.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's not really weight class. It's just people and their styles. Like, I don't know. It's so hard to put it on one weight class.
I think I'm more partial to the heavier weights. Not so much heavyweight right now, but like when I'm watching UFC, I really like watching middleweight up, because there is a potential that any blow will be it. And it goes back to when we think about boxing, like we were talking about over the weekend, is when you think about like a Tyson Fury or a Andrew Joshua or a Deontay Wilder, is when we were growing up, we had all these great heavyweight boxing champions that we could look up to. And then when we got to, you know, our prime drinking age or going out and watching these events, we had, you know, Pacquiao or, you know, these other guys. It wasn't like a heavyweight kind of stood out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, you know, boxing and UFC is like, I love to see that power. Like, I'm not taking anything from Pacquiao or, you know, or any of those guys from that weight class, but I would just prefer like the knockout power. Like, at any minute, like, this guy may have been whooping his ass for two rounds, but there is still the potential that just he might hit you. He might hit the hardest button to button and knock you out.
Yeah.
And yeah, when no, you go I mean, to
that's,
those
that's
lighter
enticing
weights.
For a lot of people too. I mean, it's not. I don't think it's just you. It's a lot of people have that. That preference, basically.
And when you go to those lighter weights, it's like, well, you really can't take anything away from that. I mean, just look at Stroke Charles. Is how do you say his last name?
Oliveira. Oliveira. Yeah,
is, man, he's a con artist when it comes to jiu-jitsu. He's like, you know, he's like, I'm gonna choke you out. I mean, what did he do to Gacy? You know, like Justin, he just, whoop, you're done.
Yeah, he knocked him down and then got his back.
And I love to see that too. It kind of reminds me of like a GSP of old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's like on his feet. He's just going to weigh you out and then let's go to the floor. Over.
Yeah. I mean, he has hands too. Like, I know he can knock people out. I mean, like I was saying earlier, like everyone has their real like niche. Like Calvin Kattar's a featherweight. He has crazy raw power. Same thing with like Volkanovski has crazy power. Max Holloway is more of like a, you know, I'm going to hit you with 9 punches and then land a heavier one. And then, you know what I mean? So like, that's also like with those smaller guys, they're so fucking fast. They're so fast. You get hit 12 different ways. You don't even know where the fuck they are. It's so fun. Like, they're all fun to watch. It's just, I know when the, what was it? When flyweight first started with Mighty Mouse, Demetrius Johnson.
They're so fast, man.
A lot of people were like, oh, this is boring, this and that. They're only 5'4", this and that. It's like, dude, they're so fast. Like, you got to appreciate it. Dude, they're unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, anything else to do with this card? Or, you know, we've talked a little bit about upcoming. I just really want to plug what you have going on with the Cornerman and, like, your solo casting now of... plug in social media, follow you at Jared Kinney on Twitter. Like I'm telling you guys, if it's a Saturday night and there's a UFC event going on, or I imagine, I haven't been on Twitter tonight, I imagine you were probably doing some live tweeting tonight with the Celtics game.
Yep. Yeah. The last couple of minutes I were, or at least the last fourth quarter, Al Horford went off, dunked and baptized Giannis Antetokounmpo. It was awesome.
The Greek freak got stepped
Fuck
on.
Him. Yeah, he did. Fuck that.
So,
guy.
I mean, what are you thinking? Like, let's talk NBA just for a minute. We'll sign off.
And Celtics in six.
Okay.
Celtics in six, baby. Let's go.
Okay. I like that. So Celtics in six, and they'll go on to play Miami, you think?
Yeah, I think it'll be us versus Miami.
And so out of the West, is it going to be the Warriors?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, so we have this, let's just say, hypothetical on the clavicle, Celtics versus Warriors.
Celtics win.
Six?
Celtics win in five.
That quick?
I think we'll lose game two. And I think Marcus Smart is going to shut down Steph Curry. Hold on, I'm going to sneeze real quick.
Yeah.
Hit the mute button really good.
You did. You killed it.
Klay Thompson's going to get locked up by Jason Tatum.
It's just, what's crazy is there's another Klay Thompson over there at the Warriors right now who is just as fireball as
What's his name? Jordan Poole.
That's the one.
He's good. He's good, but we got people to defend him.
Is he a rookie or is it like his second season? He's kind of new to the NBA.
Yeah, this is like his first or second season. Jordan Poole is nasty. Yeah, but you don't really see that often, especially come out in the playoffs like this.
Yeah.
But
I'm excited, and I'm hopping on the bandwagon right there with you. I'm going Celtics this season. You know, usually Raptors here, but I'm with the Celtics here. The Celtics on this one, dude.
Won tonight. Next game's Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central Time on TNT. We're favored by 5.5 points.
And so I'm guessing they're playing in the Garden.
Yep. I like how you called it the Garden. Love it. I love it because people say, the Garden is Madison Square Garden. Like, no, that's Madison Square Garden. The Garden's in Boston, Massachusetts, right over the Zakin Bridge. If you don't know, now you know.
There you go. So, dude, anything else to add or subtract? I do want you to plug your podcast and social medias. If there's anything else you want to cover before we sign out here.
No, I think we pretty much hit the nail on the head. Social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Jared Kenny, just like how you see it spelled out on the podcast. And same thing with the podcast. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Those are pretty much the two main ones. But you can follow or subscribe. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so I can see the analytics and the breakdown of how many people listen, download this and that. But make sure you follow and download the episode. But it's at the Cornerman with a KO. I'm sure you're going to spell it out on this, right? On the title?
I will. Yeah, that's okay. Right.
Yeah, Kornermen. You'll see the page there with all the episodes. And you'll see my more in-depth breakdown of this last week's fights.
And like I'm looking forward to that. And I'm gonna tell y'all something. Those of you listening, is I'm honored to have Jared on here. It's good to talk fighting. I really can't keep up with him, so I talk as best as I can. He does a great job breaking things down. And also, like on your podcast, you had a Boston local that just happens to be in the sport of UFC, Mr. Anik.
Yep, Mr. John Anik. The voice of the UFC,
what's going on around here?
Yeah. the play by play, basically commentator, as you will, for the UFC, who's probably the hardest working man in that company. To be honest with you, he does so much shit. And I just shot my shot one day, reached out to him, told him who I was.
Local Bostonian.
Yeah, and he was like, "Yeah, man, sure, I'll give you some of my time." I think we stole a little too much of his time, so
he said
20 minutes. It was like 45, but
that means he was having a good time,
right?
That's just it. And so you, not to leak too much, but you have a cool episode with an old guest of mine coming up. We don't have to leak the name, but that will be coming sometime soon.
Soon, I hope. Yeah. Hopefully, hopefully that person comes on, and hopefully. We can do some content together. I got to pitch that still.
But. There you go. And so, boys and girls, we don't have anything else to do here. Jared, a pleasure as always. Thank you for coming on the Porch Talk. We had the Cornerman. We're going to sign it on out of here, dude. You be good. If you ain't good, be quick at least, right?
Appreciate it, dude.
I'll see you, man.
Have a good one.
Running on time on the highway, running on time on the night. Looks like things going my way, this time get it right, get it right. dog hanging in the backyard, fireworks in my hand, good looking mama dancing, firing up the band. Smoke and wheels are burning, leather to my leg, lying on window dancing, diamonds in my head. Running on time on the highway, running on time on the night. Looks like things going my way, this time get it right, get it right. We did it right.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.